Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Today we're going to continue our series called The Great Romance. In the first week we talked about how God is in pursuit of us. And then the next week we talked about how God wants to rescue us. And today I want to talk about how God wants to protect us. Because just because He gets you, once He gets you, He's got to do something with you. And He wants to protect you. He wants to protect what is His. Amen? He wants to protect, and think about this for a second. Think about what is valuable to you and what you're willing to protect. And then think about how far, what measure you would go to protect that thing. God loves us a lot, and today's message is going to be about protection. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's not the easiest message I've ever preached. As a matter of fact, I've really struggled even in thinking this message through, because I know exactly what we all think, and that is, if God loves me and protects me so much, why did I go through this bad thing that I went through? Right? Why was I abused? Why did they leave me? Why did this person die? Why did I have to lose all of this? If God is really protecting me, shouldn't everything be perfect in my life? And that's a valid question. That's something we should all be okay with asking God. Is God, if you really love me and you really protect me, why did I go through cancer, Kim? Why did that have to happen to me? Why couldn't it happen to someone else? Why did it have to happen to me? Because God's protecting me, but I still see all this. Well, I want you to ask yourself a question. What is protection today? Think about what does it mean, really, to protect? Now, I know right off the bat, we're thinking in this supernatural realm that we got this big invisible force field around us that nothing is ever going to touch us. We're made out of Teflon, and we're never going to get hurt, or nothing's going to stick to us. But that's not at all what the Bible talks about. And that's not our reality, right? You think about your own kids. Those of you that have kids, I'm sure everyone in the room that has a kid right now, you would say, I would protect my child to the ends of the earth. I would do whatever it takes to protect my babies. Perry, how far would you go to protect your kids, right? I mean, Perry will straight up cut you. Like she says all the time, she would. But you know what? That's not true. That's not true. None of us are telling the truth. Because the fact is, every one of you that's a mama in this room, when your baby was learning how to walk, you let that baby fall on the ground. Tell the truth. You let the baby fall on the ground. You didn't walk around with bubble wrap, wrapping that kid up. Perry's trying to teach my kids how to ride a bicycle. Notice I didn't say I was teaching my kids. I don't have that kind of patience. Perry's teaching her kids how to ride a bicycle. You know what she did not do? She did not run beside my kids and hold the bike up the whole time. At some point, she let those kids go and let them fall down. Where's the protection in that? Think about it. She put them out on the street, running them up and down the street on a bicycle. Did we wear helmets and pads? No, we don't wear helmets and pads. Did my kids fall down? Yes, they fell down. Why wasn't she protecting them? If she's willing to go to the ends of the earth, Mama, if you're willing to go to the ends of the earth to protect your babies, why is it that we allow this stuff to happen? Why is it that we put our kid in sixth grade and he comes home with a bad grade and we say, you better study? But we don't sit down and go through every piece of homework with him. Why? Because he's got to learn. Sometimes protection is not wrapping someone up in bubble wrap and making all the boo-boos go away and protecting them like some kind of bubble boy back in the back room somewhere of your house. That's not protection and that's not love. Sometimes you got to go through a fire in order to learn how not to get burned. And it's important for you to see today that because God loves you and He's protecting you does not mean you're not going to face an obstacle or two in your life. God loved Joshua. He protected Joshua, but He sent Joshua into the teeth of battle time and time and time again. But he watched over Joshua and he took care of Joshua. So today we got to get out of our minds this idea of protection means that nothing bad's ever going to happen. We need to understand that protection means he's going to be there through it with us. And I want to give you four principles of his protection today. And the first one is he protects us by his promise. He protects us by his promise. Let me tell you something. Death is not an indicator of his protection. We want to blame God every time someone dies and we say, see, God didn't protect them because they died. Now, we're okay if the person is, 100 years old. My grandmother passed away. She was 93 years old. And it was like one of those things when she passed away, everybody was like, that's great. That's one. She lived a great long life. And God blessed her. The Chins, they're new members. We'll see their picture up here in a minute. They went to New York today to be with his grandmother who is turning 107 years old. And we say, when she passes away, his whole family is going to just say, this is so wonderful. She's fought this battle for so long. But what happens when it's a kid? God didn't protect them, right? God didn't protect them. When we begin to... But here's the thing. We can't use death as an indicator as to whether or not God's protecting, because the Bible says we're all going to die at some point. Paul says this body that we live in is like a tent, and at some point it's going to get folded up and put away. So we need to get out of our heads that death is somehow some kind of indicator of God's love or lack thereof. I want you to look at, or you don't have to look there, it's going to be on the screen, but John chapter 11 is a story of Lazarus. And the Bible says that Lazarus got sick, and they told Jesus about it, and Jesus purposely didn't show up to Lazarus's sick bed. He waited and waited and waited, and then by the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus is dead. So the Bible says that Jesus shows up, and Lazarus' sister, Martha, said to Jesus, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And verse 23, Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises in the last day. They had this understanding, like most of us do, that in the last days, all the dead in Christ are going to rise up and go be with God in heaven, right? They had this understanding even in the biblical times. And Martha's thinking, yeah, I get it. At the end of times, resurrection, all that. And Jesus looks at her and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? I love that part because that's where we all are right now. We're all like the Martha sometimes. And God's saying, I'm here to protect you. And you're saying, yeah, but so-and-so died. And he says, do you not believe me, Martha? That even though you die, I have conquered death. Even though you die, you will live again. There is a promise somewhere. And the greatest protection God can offer you is to protect you from eternity in hell by putting you in an eternity in heaven. That's the greatest protection we can ever have, is to live again. The Bible says when we go to heaven, there will be no more sickness, there will be no more pain, there will be no more tears. The greatest protection you could ever enjoy is by going to heaven. The thing about death is this. Everybody dies. Even in the Bible, the people that God protected miraculously still ended up dying. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. He ain't still here. He's dead. Jesus himself, the Bible says, was miraculously protected one time. They said a crowd pushed him right to the edge of a cliff and was about to push him off. And all of a sudden, Jesus just walks right through the crowd. But then they end up killing him later. You need to understand something. Just because someone's protected at one point, Daniel, protected in the lion's den, still dead. Like, we all die. So that's not an indicator. We got to understand there's life after death. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says this, 16 through 18, and then chapter 5, it says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So He's protecting us by renewing the inner man, the spirit, so that it'll last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. At the end of the day, the best protection we can get is when He takes us to heaven. The Bible says, I was reading the book of Revelation, and the Bible says in the book of Revelation, all of a sudden these people start showing up, and they've got these white robes on that's drenched in blood. Kind of a creepy little illustration that God's given John here. And so these guys show up, and they're drenched in blood, and John's like, who are these guys? And he says, these are the ones that were killed for my name on earth, but now they're in a place of honor. Now they're in a place of protection where the enemy cannot touch them anymore. In other words, they went through troubles on earth, but I protected them. How? I let them die, but I brought them to be with me. So we need to understand that today. I got three more thoughts here on His protection, but I want to give you these thoughts based out of a story in Mark chapter 4. And this is where I wanted you to get today. That first part was just to give us some understanding. But Mark chapter 4 is going to give us the last three principles. And it tells a story of Jesus and His disciples on a journey. And the Bible says in verse 35, as evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. And this is where a lot of us find ourselves today. We find ourselves in the middle of a storm. We find ourselves in a boat and we find ourselves with waves crashing over on top of us. And we're getting scared. We're getting worried. We're getting concerned about what's going to happen to us. So what's Jesus doing? I love this. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with His head on a cushion. I like the fact that they had to point out that He got comfortable. It wasn't like one of these deals where He's propped up against the edge and He just kind of dozed off. My dude is sleeping. He is out like a light in the middle of a storm. He's got His head on a pillow. He's got the Dramamine working. He's gone, right? And so the Bible says He's sleeping in the back of the boat, head on a cushion. The disciples woke Him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Pause right there. Again, this is a picture of us. Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care about my finances? Don't you care that I can't pay my bills? Don't you care about the doctor's report? Don't you care about cancer? Don't you care about my grandma? Don't you care about this guy abusing me? Like, where are you? You're asleep somewhere. And we're crying out to Him. We're trying to wake Him up. We're scared. We're worried. And it's okay to be that way a little bit. Look what happens. Teacher, don't you care we're going to drown? Verse 39, when Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then He asked them, this is the part that trips me out about Jesus. He can use anything as a teaching moment. And He can find any reason to just get the disciples, right? Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Not the storm anymore. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and waves obey Him. To give you an understanding, they're coming off of some great miracles. They're coming off of God providing in miraculous ways. They get in the boat, they see a storm, and they start flipping out. And just like us, we come through this whole life and we see miracle after miracle after miracle in our life. We see God's provision day after day after day. But as soon as the storm gets our life a little bit out of control, we lose all courage, we lose all strength, and we begin to call out to God and begin to blame God and begin to say, where are you? You've left me. And God's looking at us saying, Where'd all that faith go? Yesterday you woke up and you believed that you could breathe, and today you're scared because you don't have a check that you're supposed to have. Where'd all that faith go? Yesterday you prayed for somebody that had a cold, but today you got a bad doctor's report. Where'd all that faith go? And he's looking at us and he's trying to teach us something during this storm. I want to show you the three more principles that we can apply to our life. The second one that we're going to talk about is he protects with his presence. Mark, in that chapter, it says in verse 36, it says that Jesus was in the boat. He was asleep, but he was in the boat. The fact is, through every storm of life, his presence is there to protect you. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. Actually, Sabrina, I'm sorry. I'm going to start in verse 1. You don't have it, so don't sweat it. Just get ready for 2. It says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you," or rescued you. "I have called you by name. You are mine." Verse 2, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you." It doesn't say you're not going through deep waters. It says you're going to go through deep waters, but just remember, I'm going to be in the deep waters with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. His presence will be with you. But you'll still go through the fire. And that's the part I don't like. I want to start a church and everything's happy-go-lucky and we always pay the bills and money comes in and everybody's getting healed and everybody's getting rescued and nobody dies. And I want to have that church. I want to have that church where everybody's getting saved and we always have a new building. I want to have that church. But the fact is, I don't have that church. I didn't have that. You want to have that business where you open up the doors and everybody just floods in and you're making money hand over fist. But the fact is, your business doesn't always do that. Sometimes you go through a trial. Sometimes you go through a fire. Sometimes you go through deep waters. I try real hard to be healthy. I eat right. I exercise. But you know what? At the end of the day, there's going to come a point in my life where I might get a bad doctor's report. There's going to be a trial. There's going to be a fire. But I take courage in knowing that He's with me in the middle of it. He's with me in the middle of it. When I'm trying to learn how to ride my bike, He didn't just leave me. He's with me. I might fall down, but who's there to pick me up? See, protection isn't all about not getting scraped. Protection is about knowing someone's with you when you do get scraped. Protection is having somebody put their arms around you. I remember as a kid, my kids still do this to this day, but I remember as a kid having the bad dreams, having the nightmares, right? And go running into my parents' bedroom. And I don't know why it is that for whatever reason, as long as I could just get in the bed with mom and dad, I felt protected. I slept better. My bad dreams went away. Mom and dad aren't doing anything but sleeping. But just the fact that they're there with me gives me comfort and peace. The fact that He's there with us. There's a story in the Bible. I didn't put it in your notes. I didn't put it on the screen. There's a story in the Bible that we always call them the three Hebrew children, right? If you grew up in church, then you know this story. If you didn't grow up in church, I'll just tell you about it. Back in the old days in Israel, Israel was captured by Babylon. Babylon took them over. And when Babylon took them over, Babylon's smart. The leaders of Babylon, very smart. They go in and pick out the best people in Israel and bring them and train them and turn them into Babylonians and government officials and all that kind of stuff. They leave all the dummies behind. And so they got all the smartest people. Well, three of the people they got were these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And listen, let me tell you something. There's a story about how they survived in a fire, and we always teach that to our kids. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got in the fire and they didn't die, and that's a great story. You know what? There's a whole other part to that story that's a whole lot of bad. Like, we forget the whole fact that they were, A, kidnapped from their homeland and taken to another country. B, most people feel like they were turned into eunuchs, which for those of you that don't know, that means cutting off certain body parts. C, even through all of that, They're forced to bow down to a false god, and they refuse to do so. These guys have not, they've been through the storm. At this point, when they're being forced to bow down, they could very easily say, where is God? Where is God when I got kidnapped and taken away from my parents? Where is God whenever they really begin to cut me and emasculate me? Where is God in all of this? And now they're going to throw me in a fire if I don't worship this foreign god? Most of us would bow down at that point. We'd say, forget God. Forget God. These guys didn't. And the Bible says that they were thrown into this fiery furnace. And the story goes that the king, the evil king, looks in and he says, how many people did we throw into the furnace? And his guy said, we threw three. And he said, I see a fourth in the fire, and he looks like the Son of God. And most people feel like it was Jesus at that point coming in and rescuing these boys and protecting them. And they came out of the fire, miraculous, wonderful. But guess what? He didn't show up until they were in the fire. Think about it. He didn't stop them from going in the fire. He didn't show up until they were in the fire. Until they were in the fire. He's going to be with you in the fire. His presence protects us. The third way he protects us by his power. Mark, back in Mark in verse 39 in our story, it said he stood up and said, silence, be still, and suddenly the waves and winds stopped. He used his power to protect the disciples. Well, his power is still at work in us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says this, we pray also that you be strengthened with all his glorious power. Why, Paul? Why do we need to be strengthened? So that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. Why do I need endurance and patience if life is about to be easy? I don't need it. I only need endurance if I'm about to go through something hard. We preached a whole message called Endure, a whole series called Endure a while back. We talked about how you've got to learn to endure through these troubles and hard times. The fact is, it's his power that strengthens you and protects you and gets you through all that. Ephesians chapter 3, this one's a little lengthy, so hang in there with me. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 through 19, it says, so please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Let me explain to you what's happening right here. Paul is in prison. Matter of fact, the letter he wrote to the Colossian church was from the same prison. Now he's writing to the Ephesian church. He's in prison. And apparently a lot of people are getting upset because Paul's the one that came through and started their church and now is in prison. He's in chains. He's on death row. He's going to be murdered. And they're all upset. They're all thinking, where is God's protection? If our best dude, Paul, is in prison and he's about to die, where's our protection? Where is God in all of this? And Paul says, don't lose heart because I'm going through a trial. He says this, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, check this out, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand all, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Let me tell you what he wants to do. He wants to empower you. Not just give you a little bit of power, but he wants to empower you by the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you today with the Holy Spirit and power. And when the Spirit of God is in you, when the Spirit of God powers you, that protects you. Why does it protect me? How does it protect me? Because it roots me and grounds me in love and helps me to understand how deep, how wide, how high, how long God's love is for me. When you're going through a fire, what you need to know is how much God loves you. And you don't just need to know it, you need to be rooted and grounded in it. Charles Spurgeon wrote on the commentaries on this verse, he says the idea of being rooted here really doesn't just mean like we think of a regular old plant with a few little roots. He says the idea of being rooted means to have your roots run deep and wrap themselves around rocks and stones so that it will never be pulled up by any storm. Sometimes we go through storms, and because our lives are not rooted and grounded in His love, we don't understand His love, then the storm knocks us over because we say, God doesn't love me anymore because I'm going through this storm. But the fact is, He loves you a ton in the storm. And if we will allow Him, His power will protect us and strengthen us through the storm. How? By rooting us in His love. The fourth principle today, or the fourth thought here, is that He protects by His principles. Mark chapter 4:40 says, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" There's a level of principles that we need to have in our life that will protect us. So Perry and I tell you this a couple of times already. We're doing our food thing, our eating challenge. And so last night we come to date night, which was awesome. If you're a couple, next time we do a date night, you need to come. We had a lot of fun. We heard a lot of interesting stories about some of the couples in the church. So last night we had date night. And while we have date night, I'm looking at all this food that they got out. And they've got all these cheesecake bites. And I'm going to be honest with you. I really like cheesecake, and especially cheesecake bites, because it doesn't feel like you're eating a lot. You know what I mean? Like, you can eat like seven of them, and it's like, I don't even know if that was a whole slice. Like, you can make it up in your head. And so I'm seeing these cheesecake bites out there, and I really want them. But I've got these principles of nutrition that I've got to abide by. I can only have certain amount of protein and fat and whatever the other one is, carbs. And so there's certain principles, and so I have to get out my phone. And it was funny, Vicky was back there trying to tempt me last night, and I get out my phone, and I'm saying, I want to see if I have enough carbs and fat left in my diet for the day to eat a cheesecake bite. And I'm going over to the cheesecake, I'm finding the box, I'm scanning the barcode, I'm finding out how much is in each one, and I figured out that I could eat two cheesecake bites and not hurt myself. So guess what I did? I ate two cheesecake bites. Guess what I wanted to do? Eat all the cheesecake bites. I wanted to go around to other people's plates and take their cheesecake bites and eat their cheesecake bites. I may look little on the outside, but on the inside, I'm a big boy. I like to eat. And I saw those cheesecake bites. What happened? But my principles kept me in check. My principles protected me from overindulging in something. But what happens to us in life is we start getting into some issues, we start getting into some storms, we start getting into some temptation, and we say, God didn't protect me, I still failed, I still sinned. No, it wasn't God's fault you sinned, it was that you have no principles to stand on. You live your life willy-nilly however you want to, but the Word of God says we live our life by His Word, not by how we feel. And if we live by our principles and not our feelings, the principles of God's Word will protect us against every temptation. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19 in the New King James says this, "So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun." Check this out. "When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." What's a standard? A standard is a flag. A standard is a principle that you live by. The standard says these are the things that these people live by and proclaim, and you cannot come against them. And we quote this verse all the time, but we've got no standard. If you don't give the Spirit a standard to hold up, then the enemy is still going to come in like a flood. We've got to give Him a standard. There are standards I live by. There are shows I don't watch. Why? Because the Word of God says if you look on a woman to lust, then you've committed adultery with her in your heart. So don't tell me that it's okay to watch all this nudity on TV. That's not a standard the Word of God tells me. My standard says I got to stop at this point. I've got to have standards. So now if I'm watching whatever I want to watch, I can't get mad at the Holy Spirit because I fall into sin when He already gave me a standard. I just wasn't willing to live by the standard, so He couldn't hold it up when the enemy flooded in. There's this woman. This is a true story. Let me just say this. I'm not allowed to use the word stupid at home, so I try to use it every sermon I can. But stupid will step you right out of God's protection. Stupid will step you right out of God's protection. There's a woman I was reading when I was studying this week, and she was saying, why didn't God protect me? And she was talking about how God didn't protect her. And here's her story. This is a true story. She says that she was at work, and she saw this guy at work, and she really liked him, and he really liked her, and they were kind of flirting back and forth. And she said, I prayed and asked God if it was okay if I dated this guy. And so she kind of started dating this guy. Come to find out the guy was married. He didn't tell her that. And so he tells her that he's married and has a family, has kids. And you know what she does? She keeps dating this guy. She takes it too far. She starts sleeping with this guy. And then one day she comes to the realization, oh, I'm in sin. And so she breaks it off with the guy. But then she gets mad at God for not protecting her. I'm thinking, you're stupid. God tried to protect you by giving you His Word. Now, the fact you didn't know he was married at first, that's his fault. But the fact that you continued in sin, that's your fault. That ain't God's fault. His Word says don't commit adultery. His Word says don't commit fornication. It's your fault for not living up to the standard of His Word. Not His fault. I better move on. I keep looking at this clock here. This clock tells me when it's time for me to end this service. But I forget that we've already skipped like four things today. So y'all getting the long version today. Let me end today with this last thought. His protection has a purpose. His protection has a purpose. I want to go back to Mark chapter 4 again. I want you to look at something. Mark chapter 4, we're going to hit 35 through 37, and then we're going to go to the very next chapter. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and began to fill with water. Now this is the point where he gets up, peace be still, whatever, whatever, you know, all that happens. They get to the other side. Mark chapter 5. So end of 4, going into Mark 5, the Bible says this. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, now you got to read this part literally. As soon as he steps out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came running from the tombs to meet him. That's the story of the man with the legion of demons. Y'all remember that one. We've preached that before. He had thousands of demons inside of him. The Bible says Jesus steps out of the boat and a man with thousands of demons comes running to meet him. Jesus, this is a good thought for you today. Jesus didn't come to calm the storms in your life. He came to get you to the other side. At the end of the day, he didn't have to calm that storm because he knew where he was going. He didn't come to calm all your storms. He came to get to the other side because he's on a mission. He has a purpose, and you have a purpose today. You have a mission today. There's something God wants for you and from you today, and you don't need to sweat the storms because there's another side. The point was never the storm. The storm is just a distraction for your mission. Some of you are struggling today. You're saying, oh, I've got this health thing. I've got this money thing. I've got this family thing. And we start struggling. And what happens is it gets our focus on the storm. There was another storm in the Bible. And in that storm, the Bible says that Jesus was walking on the water and that Peter jumps out of the boat and is walking on the water. But the Bible says as soon as Peter started looking at the wind and the waves, he began to drown. When he got his eyes off of Jesus, he began to drown. And what the storm is here to do today is the storm is here to distract you. He wants to protect you, not from being in the storm. The storm is just getting us to the other side. The storm is an opportunity for you to trust Him. Let me tell you something else I thought was interesting. I threw this one in right at the end today. But it said there was other boats following them, but it never says that the other boats made it to the other side. The storm that you're going through today and you're saying, God, I need to get out of this storm, if you would just calm the waves. You know what? If you would learn to just stay in the storm and stay under His protection, it might be that that storm is what's going to separate you from all the other boats. It might be that that storm is what's going to get you away from everybody else that wants to hold you back. That storm may be what propels you to the other side, not wrecks you. So every storm, every protection has a purpose. The Bible says that Paul, I didn't put this in the notes or anything, but Paul's got a great story. The Bible says Paul's in a boat. He's on his way to court. And on his way to court, the storm comes up. The boat breaks apart. The boat wrecks and shipwrecks. So here Paul is getting shipwrecked on some island. He gets off the rubble or whatever, and they build a fire. And as they're building a fire, a snake jumps out, bites Paul on the hand. All the people around him, all the natives, they're like, oh, this guy must be a terrible criminal. Snake bit him. Bible says Paul shakes the snake off. God heals him. He doesn't die. And they start looking at Paul like he's some kind of god. And they say, you know what? The leader of our tribe is sick. Let's take this guy up there to heal him. So Paul goes and heals the leader and ends up staying there for 3 months ministering to these people. What if Paul would have said, God, stop the storm. I don't want a shipwreck. What if Paul would have said, God, don't let any snake ever bite me? Then he never would have had the opportunity to minister for 3 months to that man and that whole group of people. Somebody told me this week, I was getting ready to preach, and I didn't want to preach this message because I know how people feel about protection. And I didn't want to preach it because I know there's people in the room that have been abused. You talk about death, and I can get you over death by saying that there's heaven on the other side. And so that gives us comfort, right? And you can talk about money, and even with money, sometimes some of us can push past God, which we shouldn't do. We can push past God and say, I'll just get 2 jobs, I'll get 3 jobs, I'll make money. When you talk about sickness, oh, I'll just go to a doctor, I'll get some medicine. But when you talk about somebody abusing you, sexually abusing you, emotionally abusing you, physically abusing you, that's not something you just push past. And I was saying, and I was praying Wednesday night, we had our prayer group, I said, y'all got to pray for me because I don't know, there's a part of this message, I don't know where to go with it because I don't know how people are going to take it, I don't know what to say. And so we're praying about that. And I'm not going to say names right now, but someone came up to me, and they told me that I could use their name, but someone came up to me and they said, Gabriel, you know, I was praying about what you were talking about. And she said, you know, I was sexually abused. And God told me in prayer, He said, although you were sexually abused, I was protecting you because He could have killed you. And He didn't. And I brought you through. That same person, I don't know how many people probably in this church she has been able to minister to because of a storm in her life. I'm not saying God wanted her to go through that storm. I'm not saying God made her go through that storm. But I am saying that she went through a storm and God was with her the whole time. There's sin in the world, folks. We live in a corrupt world. Bad things are going to happen. God didn't design it that way. Man twisted it. But He gives us a free will. He lets us choose to do it wrong or do it right. But either way, the Bible says He's with us, even in the storm, even in the abuse. He's with you. He's bringing you through it. And then He'll use it for His purpose. He says, you're in the middle of this abuse storm, but you know what? There's another side with another woman that's been abused. And she's hurting, and she's lonely, and she doesn't think anybody understands, and she doesn't think anybody cares, but I'm taking you to another side, and when I get you to the other side, I'm going to bring her to you. I know you're going through this financial storm right now, but if you'll just make it through the storm, if you'll just trust in my protection to get you through the storm, there's somebody on the other side that's in debt and they're discouraged and they're about ready to commit suicide because they're so far in debt. But if you'll just get to the other side, as soon as you step off the boat, I'll bring them to you. Kim, I know you had to go through cancer. I know you had to deal with chemo. I know you had to deal with all that went through it. But thank God you went through it, because there's going to be people in this room that are going to go through the same thing. And as soon as you get off that boat, God's bringing people to you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.